Hello, welcome to Pod Maverick. As you can see here on the video graphic, I decided to name this one Pod Maverick Happy Hour because I need to remember how to get into my Figma account and redo our graphics. Kirk Henderson joined, as always, by Josh Bow. It's been a couple of weeks. Josh, how are you?
I'm good. It was. We needed that.
I do.
We definitely needed it. We needed to go away. At least I needed to go away. I don't know how you felt.
Are you kidding me? I watched Invincible. I have been watching Attack on Titan. I have been doing non-Mavericks things, and I feel great and sort of want to do the Josh thing of walk into the ocean and never return. That's sort of where we are in the off season here. But, you know, it's funny because Josh and I also didn't really talk that much the past 2 weeks. We cover Mavs Moneyball stuff and sort of stay on top of administrative function, but it's good to take a little bit of time away. That the end of that season was a grind, and you know, it has me broadly kind of rethinking our game-to-game coverage for next year. As much as I love talking about the games every time, like my friend Spike Eskin, who does the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, like they record like 2 to 3 times a week, and like that's their deal. As opposed to us, where it's like we can record as many as 8 times a week, depending on what I have going. And it's like, that, you know, maybe that's not practical anymore now that we have small children. Anyway, that's for later here. It's a good day in Mavs land. You know, it's funny. I asked Josh this morning if we could record because we hadn't talked in a while, not even remembering that the Rookie of the Year race was going to be announced tonight. And lo and behold, somebody posted at 6 o'clock. Hey, when is this going to be happening and where is it going to be happening? And in typical NBA fashion, they had announced that it was going to happen at 7 o'clock Eastern on Peacock and did not happen until close to 7:30. Just the most NBA fucking thing imaginable. Cooper Flagg won Rookie of the Year, edging out Con Knipple. He won 55 first place votes, 44 second place votes. And I don't want to say I'm surprised, but considering the loudness of the Con Knipple element of this discussion for the past 6 weeks, I am a little bit surprised. What did you think, Josh?
I wasn't super. I felt like the tide was changing, and like it or not, people, the NBA structured it to where the first Charlotte play-in game, the votes weren't due until after that one, right? And I think they were due before they lost to the Magic, but he played really poorly in that played really poorly in that first play-in game. So like it or not, that probably had some measure of impact, and the voting was so close, even if it was one person that decided to change their vote from Con first to Con second, like that makes a difference after that play-in game, you know, like it or not, that probably had an impact. And then, you know, Cooper finished the season. I mean, he finished the season on a tear. And once like guys like Zach Lowe are talking about like, well, I don't know. I actually think Cooper, you know, because we've talked about this before, the NBA media can be kind of copycatty.
Oh, incredibly. Like, I think it's, you know,
once more prominent voices were saying, I think Cooper can be Rookie of the Year. I think a lot of voters probably are like, okay, I'm allowed to vote for it now because there's so much groupthink and following going on there. So not shocked, but also, you know, I didn't think it was a slam dunk either. I knew it was going to be close.
So one of the things that's been very interesting in the past, like 15 years of voting, which is we're approaching, you and I having been online for 15 years plus and seeing how this stuff has evolved, is when the ballots went public, there was an extreme push for homogenization of the ballots. And I remember thinking that was a good thing when I was a younger person, where it's like, you know what? We all need to agree. It's very, very important that we agree about this ultimately existentially meaningless award. I remember being very smug and asshole-ish about it. And as I get older, I have decided I want weird shit. If the right person wins, that's what's most important. But I don't want homogenization in voting. I want 55-44. I loved this debate. I loved talking about both of these players in really meaningful ways. And I think more NBA awards need to be that way. It's very difficult with the bigger awards because of the game, the number of games, like guys just self-select out and they're not able to qualify. But we should be talking about guys, talking about their seasons, celebrating and arguing, not in the crazy fanboy ways that tends to go with all NBA nonsense these days. But I think like just having the discussions, like there's Hornets fans that pop into my mentions being absolutely lunatic, and that's fine. It's fun. It only happened for 2 weeks. It wasn't a 4 month long discussion the way the NBA MVP award is. And 55-44 feels right to me because I enjoyed hearing about the Hornets season and their success and diving into what the Hornets have done or did at that point. I thought that was a value to what I learned about the year. Was it a little silly that this was the first time in the history of ever that people really wanted to include team success as part of the Rookie of the Year award? Sure. But I mean, I didn't mind it. I think we'll look back. It's good that Cooper won in some sense and that it carries on some historical tradition. But if we want to start factoring in team success, sure, do it. Let's just move on and go from there. Ultimately, my friend Ethan Sherwood-Strauss is like, this is a very stupid award. Why do people care? And it comes back to like most of the stuff being very stupid. That's kind of
well. If you don't care, then like why even do any of this? Why are you listening to the pot? Like why do you consume? Like you care because that's the point. Because that's like the point. Like
if right, we're assigning meaning. Like yeah. it's what it is. But I, Flag had an incredible season. And one of the things I keep thinking about when it comes to Cooper Flag is I still do not have any idea what he can be. The range of outcomes is so fun. And as you look at this upcoming draft, as you look at how you build the Mavericks, you can really make a lot of different arguments for what kind of player he could be. Is he an S tier number two, meaning like the Robin? Because do you want him to have the ball at the end of the games? Do you want him going isolation? Or is he the guy? Is he the guy? And the Mavericks build from here on offense around him. Because, as much as you and I like talking about some of the defensive stuff from time to time, offense is still king in the NBA with the way the rules are structured. Maybe that'll change in the coming years. But, is Cooper Flagg going to be a guy? Like, is he going to be a Jason Tatum level all-around guy? Is he going to be like a fringe MVP dude? I have no clue. And I love thinking about it and wondering what he's going to add to his game, because for as much as is, we only get to do this for another year where we talk about him as like one of the youngest players till, and then eventually it's going to become super fucking annoying. But for now, we just need to kind of relish the truly unique situation that Mavericks fans find themselves in again, of having a potentially generational star. And I think it's a lot of fun just thinking about Cooper.
Yeah. I think the thing that I learned the most about Cooper this season is like the idea of trying to figure out what his ceiling is or what he's going to become is foolish. Like, mm-hmm. like you said, the range of outcomes is immense. And the fact that three years ago, we were talking, like scouts were talking about him as like incredible defensive prospect with some room to grow on offense, like could be a really great defensive player. And maybe he gives you some on the other end of the floor. Maybe that's shortchanging what they were saying about.
There's a reason. There's like a whole bunch of guys said that he reclassified to get out of this, the upcoming draft class. Because there's so many guys that had like specific offensive talents, and it's like, oh, Flag might fall because he's not one of these type of alphas. And it's like that the argument is really, you get it when you look back at how he used to play.
Yeah. And now it's like, he's scoring. I mean, you could have given me, I would have never guessed he scored 50 points in a game in his rookie season. You could have given me a million chances or guesses ever. And stuff like, no, like that's insane. So yeah, that's what the thing I learned about his rookie season is that he has kind of, I don't want to say unlimited potential, but the range of outcomes for this dude, I would believe any and all of them. And that's cool. And yeah, I mean, it was an incredible season. It was well deserving. And it was, it was fun. Like, it was obviously much needed, but yeah, I like Cooper.
Let me ask you this then. This is a question I've been thinking about for a couple of days. What would you hope Cooper Flagg becomes based off of what you've seen? Like, I have a specific answer of what I hope he doesn't do, And I'm interested in into what you hope he like. What are the things you hope he like doubles down on, and what kind of player would you like to see him become?
I kind of hope, I don't really think he needs to become alpha playmaker. Like, I don't think he needs to be heliocentric, dominates the ball 30%, 33% usage rate kind of guy where everything has to flow through him. I kind of like his off-ball acumen, and I want him to be also, I kind of want him to be a defensive stud. And I think his rookie year, I don't want to say disappointing, but
we didn't talk about it enough because the team's defense sucked.
Yeah. His defense didn't jump off the screen as much as I thought it would. He made a lot of splash defensive plays. I think he led the team in steals. He led the team in steals.
And
he had almost a block a game. So he was still really good at making like splashy defensive plays, but those possession to possession, like impacting defensive plays, that didn't happen. And to be fair, that almost rarely happens with rookies. So that can come around. And I hope the Mavericks take some of that offensive burden off of his shoulders so that he can, because part of the reason, you know, he probably couldn't play maybe is the best defense that he could play was because he was playing point guard for 20 minutes a night. And like the team was asking him, hey, you have to literally do everything. And we've seen in the NBA, when you give a player that much responsibility offensively, it just, even if they're a good defensive player, there's only so much a guy can do. Like, you have to pick your spots and pick your battles and conserve energy. And typically if you're the offensive fulcrum, where you conserve energy is on some defensive possessions. So I hope that, like, obviously he's going to be the number one option. He's going to be the franchise guy, but I hope the Mavericks can make it to where he's not counted on to do every single bit of heavy lifting for the offense, so that he can focus on a lot of the well-rounded parts of his game.
I love that. I really like that answer. So earlier I asked, like, what do you hope he becomes? I had a specific counter in my head where I'm thinking, this is what I hope he doesn't do. I understand that he needs to become an above average 3-point shooter in terms of percentages, accuracy. He can't shoot 29% from three. He needs to shoot 40% from three. But the volume is where I hope stays low. And hear me out here, guys, because the Mavericks as a team must shoot more three-pointers. They must. Like, we're going to talk about the playoffs soon, but like the Mavericks played like I can't even think of what kind of basketball you'd actually label it as, because the kind of like the offensive game plan that they have is not modern basketball. It's just not. Sorry. But that said, I want Cooper to be a respectable 3-point shooter, but I want to see the rim. I want to see that rim rate at a ridiculous percentage. I want to see him finishing plays. The fact that he was so good finishing plays this year without playing with a playmaking point guard that was above 5'8" is ridiculous. I think historically we'll look back and be like, he did what his rookie year? He shot 69% at the rim despite like basically having to be his own point guard. I just hope we see him in offensive plays where we can see him on the receiving end of things and not always having to self-create. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I think that's hitting on kind of what I was hitting on too.
I just love his athleticism. I mean, we got to watch Dirk, and Dirk was a very special kind of athlete early in his career. People forget that. But as he aged, he settled into a specific kind of game, which allowed him to play 21 seasons. And then we watched Luka, who was actually more athletic than people remember his early years, and then frankly put on too much weight, and that went by the wayside. Yeah. I want to watch athletic basketball, just because we've not seen it in volume,
right?
And yeah, rim rocking shit is just awesome. Like that dunk over Zubac earlier in the year was just like, it was one of the most like, oh my god, moments. It's a new basketball experience that didn't have to do with Vince Carter or JaVale McGee in a Mavericks uniform. That's
awesome. When was the last time the Mavericks had someone that you could credibly imagine is in the dunk contest?
Yeah.
And is also like, when was the last time the Mavericks' best player or one of their top three players with someone, because they've actually had some good dunkers, but you know, they're absolutely like players and the bench guys. When's the last time they've had like a top two guy on the team that could credibly compete in the dunk contest? Like, that's fun, you know, that's real cool. You know, just aesthetically, like, that's cool.
It's real cool. Okay. We'll continue to talk about Cooper because, much like Luca in years past, he's sort of the guide, the North Star of what we'll talk about. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to talk a couple of more non, kind of like Mavericks non-news, and then we're going to talk about some NBA stuff. So we'll be right back after this break. Remember, there are three ways you can support the show. First is literally subscribing. It's very helpful to us. Subscribe to the YouTube, even if you don't check it that often. Subscribe to our podcast. The second way you can do so is by listening to the ads that we post here. And then the third way, if you are also inclined, there's some links in the notes and you can just send us a couple of bucks directly. Josh and I always appreciate that sort of thing. So we will be right back. Okay. Thank you so much for waiting. Quick programming note. I think we're going to try to do like a Monday, Wednesday schedule, at least in the short term. Josh and I each have some work travel for May that happens to coincide around the lottery, because of course we do. We'll figure out some things there. But group therapy, Mavs party, whatever we want to call it, that's going to be held on Wednesday night. I'm going to be posting that in advance. Remember, that's the show you can come and join. We had a really nice hour last week. I enjoyed talking to people about all sorts of different stuff. There's always things to talk about. We don't have to talk about the news of the day. We can talk about Mavs of yesteryear or anything that's sort of on your mind. So consider coming to that show. We have a good time. All right. In terms of like Mavs non-news, the only thing I'm just getting a little annoyed with is just zero. I'm sure there's progress being made. I need to be clear here. Like But I'm just frustrated the Mavs don't have a GM yet. I just would have wanted to have one 13 days before the lottery or whatever it is.
Yeah, I imagine some of that probably has to do with the people they want to hire are working right now in the playoffs, maybe. If you believe the rumors and you believe that what was the report, was it Jake Fisher or someone gave like Patrick Dumont's wish list, and it was basically any like name, if you went up to a random NBA, if you asked an NBA fan to name five GMs, like probably be the names that they could name. Like it just felt like an all-star wish list. It was like Bob Myers, Sam Presti, Tim Conley, Buford from the Spurs, which was kind of hilarious, I think, was on that list too.
Right.
So a lot of, Tim Conley is working right now, technically. So I imagine we'll see if that heats up when teams start getting eliminated, maybe. Because if they wait till the season's over, like there's what, like a week or two week gap between the finals and the draft. So hopefully they're not waiting till the actual end of the season in totality. Hopefully they're waiting for, like if they want to interview Tim Conley, I don't think the Wolves are going to be in the finals this year, knock on wood, but maybe they're waiting for them to get eliminated or something like that. But
Have to think that's why I'm trying to not be a total dick about this, where it's like, you have to think that there's been backdoor channeling discussions. Like people are capable of doing two things at once. Like Dennis Lindsay, while under contract with the Pistons, is still probably able to have discussions. And it's just the fact that Shams or that Tim McMahon or that Mark Stein or no one has reported anything makes me uneasy. But I also think that in terms of like the Mavs information ecosystem, we are so used to a Mark Cuban driven flood the zone with stuff approach that I just don't think we're gonna hear much about Patrick Dumont. Like even the things that Mark Stein was giving us to a certain degree, if you're looking at what he's given us over the years, you can kind of figure out who the source probably is. You just can't. Yeah. And that's neither here nor there. It's not a comment on reporting in so much as just it's like there's only so many actors in play. But I think that like having a closed off information ecosystem where Dumont's not telling anyone anything is at least interesting. It kind of makes me anxious, but it's if I used to want this whenever Mark Cuban was in charge.
I know.
So yeah, so we'll see. It's probably not a big deal, but it's just something that's sort of itching in the back of my head. What did we say we were going to do next? Playoffs. Playoffs. Yeah, you have playoff thoughts. Where should we start? Lots of playoff thoughts.
I have playoff thoughts. Like, I think I have two. And they relate to Kevin Durant, and another one relates to kind of Jokic and Dirk.
Let's do that one first.
What, Jokic and Dirk?
Yes.
Yeah, and you retweeted it, and I tweeted, like, every NBA playoffs, I think Dirk's title ages all the better. And I'm just thinking about, like, like Nikola Jokic has won how many MVPs? Two or three? Mm-hmm. He's only been to the finals once. He's won one title, which Dirk's only won one title. But I think Dirk's been to more finals. Dirk's been to more conference finals. I also think, right? I think the mm-hmm. Nuggets have only Nuggets went twice. I think Dirk's been three times. Like Jokic, besides the finals run, actually hasn't had a lot of deep playoff runs.
Nuggets have some real, like when you go through theirs, the Nuggets have like a combination of really horrible health luck. Paired with just utterly nonsensical collapses. Like
I'm not trying to be like a Stephen A. Smith hot take artist on this, but it's just kind of like Dirk got killed. Like there are probably a lot of people listening that just weren't alive when Dirk was in his prime. I'm not talking, you know, 2012 Dirk, 2013 Dirk. I'm talking 2004 Dirk, 2003 Dirk, 2001 Dirk,
2009 like, Dirk,
even 2009 Dirk. a lot of people that were like the criticism he faced when the Mavericks would lose in the playoffs, and I'm seeing Jokic is finally kind of getting it now this season, but it's just kind of funny how Jokic, like when Jokic would lose in the playoffs, it's like he kind of gets his ass patted on the back and it's like, right, don't worry, all this stuff happened, you're fine, you know, win another MVP. And I like Jokic, it's not that I dislike him,
sure,
but it's just funny how the media environment works. And I'm just sitting here thinking back like, man, Dirk's title just looks fucking awesome. Cause even you go back to the Nuggets title, they played two play-in teams and like they played, you know, mm-hmm. like you can only play the teams you can play, but Dirk went through a pretty, pretty big gauntlet. And you know, he basically, you know, he carried that team
pretty big.
Dude, yeah, I know.
No, like I've been, so I spend, I just can't help myself. I stay away from TikTok, but I really enjoy Instagram. And every April, almost without missing a year, going back for the past 3 or 4 years, you start to see in April, like, oh, let's remember Dirk and the Mavericks in 2011. We're 15 years out. If we were smart at Mavs Moneyball, we'd be talking about this more. But frankly, it's not that I'm talked out about it. It's just like, I don't want to ask anybody to do anything like that. But 15 years out, you see these content creators on TikTok, on Instagram. We're talking people that were probably in their, you know, single digits to like preteen years in 2011 who did not watch that, who now like the NBA, for example. And I've seen like 5 or 6 of these of people who like sit there and actually look at the 2011 finals. And it's like, wait, you're telling me that they took down LaMarcus Aldridge and Brandon Roy like in a crazy series, and then took down the Los Angeles Lakers, the reigning world champs, with the sixth man of the year and Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol in a sweep, former MVP Kobe Bryant, and then three future MVPs at that point in Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden in the Thunder, and then a former finals MVP and multi-time MVP LeBron James, along with Hall of Famer Chris Bosh. Like that's what Dirk and Tyson and these guys did. And it's just, when you start to list that sort of stuff out, it really does become the most satisfying ring. I mean, I have a friend of mine in a group chat I'm in, he's a Bucks fan who, you know, the Bucks won in 2021 and he just doesn't ever feel like that title gets any credit. He's kind of right. And he's just like, you won the coolest title. Like, you won the coolest title. You need to never complain about anything ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. And thinking about like that kind of goes into my Durant take, which is like,
I love this take.
Which, like, I don't want to tweet it because I don't want to actually have to have a Twitter argument with Kevin Durant since he searches for
me. He will find
me. Yeah. He will find me. Like, that dude's legacy, like obviously I'm biased. I'm incredibly biased. I'm as biased as you can be about this. But like I would put Dirk on an all-time list higher than Kevin Durant at this point. Like it's kind of a joke how Durant's career is ending. Like post Warriors, I mean he hasn't done anything. No. He's been traded a bunch. Every team he's been on has been better off that he left, or he left like in a cratering sinkhole. Like the Nets, that franchise basically has been torpedoed. The Suns actually got better after he left. And now the Rockets, like they were a 2 seed last year, and like this team up and coming on the rise, and now they look like the most miserable fucking team in the NBA. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they added maybe the most miserable fucking player in the NBA, because you got a dude that just doesn't seem, I mean, not to armchair psychologist, but you know, he just never has seemed to find happiness with his NBA life. And I'm just thinking, like, this guy goes to teams and seems like I'm not saying he necessarily makes them worse. Like, I don't think the Rockets are necessarily worse because Durant's on the team. Like, they play, like, he's kind of lifting them up in a lot of ways, but also the leadership, chemistry off the floor, the immeasurable stuff, like, good Lord, man. Like, that's hard. And you think about Dirk, and like, he's the antithesis of all that. And obviously their careers kind of ended similarly in terms of like, KD peaked with those titles and then he hasn't really done much since. Dirk also kind of peaked with the title, but that was more, you know, his franchise failed him, you know, because Dirk was carrying, like, you know, like, I don't, Kevin Durant isn't dragging that 2016 Mavericks team to the playoff, the Raymond Felton Mavericks to the playoffs. Like, I don't think so. Like, I don't think he has that in him. So I don't know. Like, maybe people, I don't know. I just, like, and you think about the burner account stuff, and I'm just like, this stuff has, like, none of it actually matters, but if we're going to talk about comparing players and stacking them up in history and all this stuff, and like, Durant's going to probably finish as the second all-time leading scorer in the NBA, so obviously he's going to be like, he is, right? Yeah. Like, he's probably going to finish there. So sure. Like, we're going to start talking, and he's near the end of his career. We're going to start talking about legacies and where he fits, but like, I don't know, Dirk to me is a better all-time player. Maybe he doesn't have the stats and the resume, but in terms of just being a winner and being someone that, like, a teammate and someone that can, you know, take over an organization and grab it by the throat and pull it into relevancy and keep it relevant. Like, I don't know. These last few years have just, and I've been always been a big KD fan. I watched him.
He's appointment television.
I know. I watched, he was one of my favorite players outside of Dirk. I was a big UT fan in high school. Mm-hmm. I drove to Norman, Oklahoma, my senior year of high school to watch UT.
Did you really?
OU. Awesome. I did. I watched him play a college game in Norman when I was a senior in high school, because I just drove up there on a weekend, and it was incredible. He was incredible. You know, he's amazing. Good
players like him.
It's just a bummer seeing how his career is ending. It's just like, it's just always so miserable. Like, no one's happy.
No, and what's so sad about him is, like, for example, with all this Rocket stuff, you know, if you followed him and the Twitter burner gate stuff, which may or may not be Kevin Durant, who were the things that were said in those tweets were ultimately right, because you look at the Rockets, they're a disaster. Ultimately right. But the point of being a superstar is you are supposed to elevate that kind of stuff into a different tier. Meaning, if you don't have good enough teammates, if your teammates don't have it, it is your job to drag them,
yep,
kicking and screaming to the next level. The Ray Felton game is a great example. Felton, if nobody knows what I'm talking about, there was this is going 10 years ago this April. Ray Felton went nuts in one of the playoff games against Oklahoma City, stole a game from the Thunder in which KD shot 7 of 33. And, like, this was in one of Dirk's final meaningful games, realistically, as a player. And, like, yeah. Dirk was okay. But, like, Dirk was a leader. And you hear this from people. Like, Devin Harris went on a podcast recently and just talked about the kind of guy Dirk was on and off the court and, like, the way he motivated guys. And it's just, leadership is not an easy thing. It's something I have had to, you know, just in terms of being in charge of, like, a website, it's like something I've had to, like, try to figure it out. And I would argue that, like, the qualities involved in being a boss is not something that comes naturally to a lot of people, you and me included. And, like, Dirk had to learn it, and KD had an opportunity to learn it and just very clearly didn't. And, like, that's, I think, what, you know, it's like, people are going to remember a lot about KD. He's going to be a complicated player. My guy Brandon in the chat says he's, you know, got a lot of Bernard King to his career. And I think that's a good comparison. It's for folks who don't know who Bernard King is, use that old Google device and go find out. It's an interesting comparison. But yeah, just like the KD stuff is very, it's just kind of depressing. Cause it, and you know, somebody pointed out that, oh, he's tied to the Mavericks. No, they're like that friggin' person who did that today listed 22 teams. The Mavericks are not interested in Kevin Durant. Feel pretty confident in that one. Anyway.
And also, like, it's also kind of sad, like, he doesn't have a home. Like, he's changed team
with Twitter on his jersey.
Yeah, like, I mean, even Thunder fans, obviously, like, still, I'm sure they still like, but like, they have reached higher highs without him. I mean, they've won they won their first title without him. Like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is now a more important player to the Thunder organization than Kevin Durant is. It's kind of fucking nuts, crazy. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that should have been his organization, but he wanted to leave because he wanted, and I don't, you know, and it came back to around that era. Like, if you were back in that era, like, it was like, you're nothing if you don't have a ring. I think he thought he could do the LeBron thing where he could be hated for going and chasing a ring, like LeBron knew the Heat. The thing is, LeBron went back and then went, like, he needed to go. He thought going to Brooklyn was going to be his, okay, I'm doing it on my own thing, and you know, just never worked. And he thought he could fall back on having those rings as encasing his legacy, but everything that's happened since then just made it awful. And it's like, yeah, I just, like, Nets fan, like, he doesn't have, like, there are KD fans obviously that are fans of him, but like, he doesn't have like a home in terms of like the NBA, in terms of like an NBA fan base, because again, the Thunder have moved on, and I would even say probably Russ is probably a more beloved Thunder than Durant now, because he stayed, and obviously he's not going to be beloved in Brooklyn or Phoenix or Houston, right. It's just, that's kind of sad. Like, he might go down, like, he statistically he might be like one of the 8 best NBA players ever, and there's not like an NBA fan base that really considers him their guy.
Yep.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, just outright,
like,
crazy.
Even LeBron's changed teams a shit ton of times, but like, Cleveland still called, like, that's still his, like, that's still their guy. That's like the only guys I could think of that are guys that never won. Like, Harden is like that too, but Harden never won. Like, Durant's won and has as impressive resume as any NBA player out there. It's just, yeah, it's just crazy.
Well, there's a couple more things we should talk about, and then we'll talk about, just sort of mention. You know, Dirk entered the FIBA Hall of Fame. Really fun. Go watch his speech. European basketball is not something we talk about much here, but I don't think most Americans and even Mavericks fans properly appreciate Dirk's impact on European basketball. He is a beloved figure. So his speech there was very nice. Just enjoyed that. And then I did have one more thing. I remember. So Jack Nowicki on Mavs Moneyball wrote this piece at my slight badgering. He wrote like 3 takeaways so far from the playoffs. And the one that I want to highlight the most so far, and he's just talking about the first week. He just wrote, small guards are not worth the investment. Guys, just pay attention to who's on the floor in these playoff games. And if you see anybody that's underneath 6'5", they're only out there for a short period of time. NBA playoff caliber teams are big. And I think we don't properly appreciate how, like, you see a guy like Kyrie, who is 6'1 and 170 pounds, and he's an outlier. He's an outlier's outlier. And as I look ahead to the draft lottery and I wonder who some of these players are going to go, it's you just can't convince me that any of these shorter guards matter. I'm just kind of out on all of them. Now, if the Mavericks draft one, I will delete this podcast and there will be no record of me saying these sorts of things. But, it's watching Brunson. You know, this is a good mention. Brandon in the chat says, you know, the media is killing Brunson because Brunson's a small guard. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. It's not the way the league is going. Like, big skill matters. And, you know, maybe we'll go back to a more physical NBA one day. That's where that's allowed. But it's like these small guys just get blanked. It's something I'm going to be overthinking heading into the lottery and the draft. So,
yeah.
Anything else on your end?
No, those are it. I got my takes off. That's about it. I liked it. Way more takes than I expected to have on April 27th. But
I mean, this first round, it's like well, I'll tell you, people are like, oh, this is just great basketball. Actually, the basketball has been kind of shit. The difference is there are stakes, and there's just nothing to be done about the regular season. It's kind of my opinion. There's just nothing to be done. They need to figure out a way to make sure people aren't outright tanking anymore, but that's neither here nor there. But like basketball games that have some out where the outcome matters in some way, shape, or form is just good. It's good basketball. It's why we liked the Hornets play-in game against Miami Heat. Like, that was an awful basketball game. It was awful. Just three after three after three after three. But the game mattered. And so it's like, it was fun. And that's, you know, kind of the end result is you just, you know, if you're checked out right now, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have the Mavericks have a fun, you know, cornerstone to build off of, and we'll see where they go from here. All right, let's get out of Dodge here. If you want to join me on Wednesday night, probably around the same time, starting at 8:30 or 9, I'll figure it out depending on when my kids' basketball practice ends. But you know, we can talk for about a half hour. Anybody that's got questions or thoughts or just things they want to get off their chest about this team, just come ready to talk. You can sign up. You can, you know, follow us on the YouTube page. I'll try to post that video the link tomorrow, so you can click the bell and get notified for when we go live. Obviously, plenty of other Mavs content out there. If you're interested in Mavs Moneyball, we're trying to write a little bit more. I gave everybody a couple of weeks off, but. Other than that, why don't we get out of here? Thanks so much, Josh. This has been fun.
Yeah, had a good one.
All right, everybody, be good. Go Mavs.